Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. This Labor Day morning, I'm Don Wick reporting. A very warm air mass will be moving into central South Dakota today with highs forecast well into the 90s. Highs in the 70s and 80s will be more commonplace across North Dakota and northwest and west central Minnesota. Severe storms are possible along and north of Highway 2 this evening. Strong winds and hail, the biggest threat for northeast North Dakota and northwest Minnesota. The corn market ended Friday on the softer side as traders look to demand disruptions and the beginning of harvest. U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says seasonal pressure is a market feature.
You do have more grain coming to the pipeline from the southern Midwest here, starting their harvest on corn and soybeans. So, you know, that real tightness is just gone. We lost it in soybeans this week, and corn is going just right behind it. So it's really going to come down to the report, looking for the acres generally to try and go up. Early guesses are 500 to a million. The yield is more questionable.
By changing acreage methodology, Rose thinks USDA is trying to be more accurate in Friday's supply-demand report.
Really trying to get accurate for the September report. They're going to adjust the acres. We usually don't wait till October unless there's something unusual, do a special survey we have in August before. But they're going to use satellite imagery, FSA numbers. They're going to use the farmer surveys. So, you know, just a lot of different things. So they want to get as accurate as they can, and we'll see. They missed it last year, so I think trying to save face, really.
Soybean and wheat appear to be well supported ahead of the three-day weekend. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman thinks short covering was a factor.
Stop the bleeding there, at least for today, that market being oversold. We had some recent rains, and that certainly helps finish off the crop, but maybe it's too late again to make any big changes to the end result. And China's been in buying some beans here the past couple of weeks, too, to offer some support. So not a bad day for soybeans. And like you said, the wheat complex, again, that market oversold. You've got the smallest crop in 14 years in Canada, and then continued talk of some quality issues, especially supporting that Minneapolis market.
The lower Mississippi River is now open to all traffic. The Coast Guard reports power lines that blocked the river after Hurricane Ida have been removed, and there has been significant progress in reopening ports and waterways throughout southeastern Louisiana. Deep sea vessels operating on the lower Mississippi are still restricted to daytime activity. As of Friday, there were 23 inbound and 2 outbound vessels queued up waiting for the reopening. 65% of agricultural exports move through the Port of New Orleans each year. Meanwhile, USDA is reporting positive agricultural export numbers for the first 10 months of the fiscal year. Here's USDA economist Bart Karner.
Agricultural exports are $147.5 billion, up 27% from $115.9 billion this time last year. Agricultural imports are at $135.2 billion, up 13% from this time last year, at $119.4 billion. That leaves a trade balance of $12.3 billion, up, you could say, 450% from the negative $3.5 billion trade surplus last year.
Ahead of USDA supply-demand report on Friday, a flurry of private estimates are being released. Lynn and Associates is projecting average corn yields of 176.6 bushels per acre. IHS Market has lowered its estimate to 175.4 bushels per acre. Last month, USDA put the national average corn yield at 174.8 bushels per acre. The House Agriculture Committee will be meeting at the end of this week to consider the role of agriculture in that $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill. Meanwhile, ranking member G.T. Thompson wrote to Chairman David Scott saying the committee is being held hostage by party leaders who have no interest in protecting farmers and ranchers. The Agriculture Committee has a reputation of being bipartisan, but Thompson said that reputation is being tarnished by the action of Democratic leadership. The American Farm Bureau Federation has sent a letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack with recommendations to address the current supply chain issues. That list includes support for small meat packers and improvements for the U.S. rail and port system. Farm Bureau is also asking USDA to consider the increased cost to farmers when ruling on trade tariffs. Science-based information is being advocated during the registration process for crop protection products. The Kansas City Southern Railway Board of Directors has agreed to reconsider the Canadian Pacific's acquisition bid. The Surface Transportation Board rejected the Canadian National's proposal for the use of a voting trust during the regulation process, opening the door once again for the CP. Canadian Pacific has given Kansas City Southern until September 12th to consider its offer. Beef packers are continuing to make $700 to $800 margins on each animal. To increase total slaughter levels, the packing industry is trying to expand its Saturday slaughter. Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossy says that has been limited by labor issues.
Many packers run Saturday kills, but you know, they're having to pay workers now as much as $25 to $30 an hour to get those people to come to work on Saturday. Nonetheless, you can see that those margins, big $700, $800 per head, has been pushing packers to have more Saturday kills, which is now on a cumulative volume of kill of total, we're looking over 2 million head.
On the Dairy Signal podcast, Bossy said packing capacity has been a big challenge.
As you think about it, they're not running double shifts. We need to have this capacity at full strength, at least during the daily kill times. Now, there is bills in front of Congress. In fact, funds are being released for smaller packers to be looking at either loans or grants to, regionally. We'll see how this all plays out. But the big message here for everybody in the dairy industry is we need more packing plants looking forward.
U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says livestock traders took money off the table and they moved to the sidelines on Friday.
The cattle market was just a risk-off, a liquidation. I think it's one of those that the beef is expected to fall apart here. Hard to sell the meat right now coming out of Labor Day. Usually it's a three-week drag here, and certainly that's the way the market acted.
The cash market was also under pressure this past week.
Nebraska down $1 to $2, 100 weight 126 versus last week. I think that was just enough to say, uh-oh. And we're starting to see the weights come back here a little bit. So it's a combination about beef looks like it's going to fall. Looks like the cash numbers just aren't holding together here, can't get out of this rut. And Packer still has big money, but his margins are expected to erode from an average this week of $950 a head, so big numbers over there.
The Canadian government has announced a new program to help farmers adopt practices that store carbon and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This is a three-year, $160 million program. Accepted practices include nitrogen management and rotational grazing. The Canadian government is accepting proposals from farm groups and provincial organizations, and the direct payments to farmers will be coming from those groups. Sugar prices have shot up after a cold snap in Brazil. Severe frost struck major sugar-producing areas in both June and July. Sugar production in the center-south region of Brazil is expected to decline anywhere from 5 to 9 million metric tons. Raw sugar futures have increased 10% over the past month, trading about 20 cents per pound in New York. Prices haven't been this high since 2017. Corteva has inked a three-year deal to use Planet Web's satellite imaging products. That's on top of a four-year partnership between the two companies. Planet Lab's latest technology fills gaps in satellite imaging, such as those caused by cloudy days, and it brings multiple views of the Earth into one single layer of information. Don't forget, the Big Iron Farm Show is coming up September 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's next week already, and the Red River Farm Network will be there with daily forums, including market outlook forums every afternoon at 1:30. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Red River Farm Network Parade of Champions celebrates 4-H and FFA across the region. This effort is sponsored in part by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, North Dakota Wheat Commission, and Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery. Katie Erickson is a 4-H and FFA member from Fertile, Minnesota. Erickson showed a Dorset U at the Minnesota State Fair. That's after a very impressive county fair.
We've got reserve market steer, grand and reserve breeding ewe, reserve champion market wether, reserve champion market gilt, and reserve champion market barrow.
Erickson also worked at the Miracle of Birth Center at the state fair. She says 4-H and FFA helped her step outside of her comfort zone.
I'm naturally like a very shy, keep to myself kind of person, and they have really pushed me like to go and try new things. And like I would have never applied for the Miracle of Birth Center, and because of like the people around me, they've encouraged me to step out and try some new things like that.
This is Erickson's final year of high school. She's planning on attending either North Dakota State University or South Dakota State University for animal science. This salute to our next generation, sponsored in part by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, North Dakota Wheat Commission, and Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery. Comments are being sought by USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service on the labeling of cell-cultured meat and poultry products. In March of 2019, the USDA and Food and Drug Administration agreement to jointly oversee the production of these products was released. Thousands of comments on the topic have been received already. That comment period is now open for 60 days. The Potato Sustainability Alliance has named John Mesko as its new executive director. Most recently, Mesko was the senior director for the Soil Health Partnership. Mesko is a Minnesota native and previously led the Midwest Organic, Sustainable, and Education Service and the Sustainable Farming Organization. Once again, markets are closed today. They will resume trading this evening, and we'll be back in gear with a regular trade starting tomorrow. Of course, everything shut down for the Labor Day holiday. As we look to the farm calendar, we've got one big thing on our plate here at the Red River Farm Network, and that's Big Iron. September 14th, 15th, and 16th, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. And we'll be at West Fargo with our building. We're located, moved to a new location last year. It's across from the new location for the food court as well, that southwest corner of the fairgrounds. It's one of the horse barns on the fairgrounds. We've got a great lineup this year. Former House Ag Committee Chair Colin Peterson will be with us Monday, along with former USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey. We will take a look at some of the risks associated with the drought, managing through that on Wednesday morning. Thursday morning, Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated will be on our program as well. You can find out more at rrfn.com. Have yourself a great Labor Day. I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.